Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson. And you may have recently seen the roundtable discussion that we had on Small Caps about the looming energy crisis, not just on here in the east coast of Australia, but right across Australia. It is a fact that there is an energy crisis that is coming upon us. Now, today, I've asked David Breeze. He is the Managing Director of BPH Energy. What David doesn't know about energy and the challenges that are coming upon us, no one else does. He has been in this game for quite a long time. And the project that he has that he's going to talk to us about today, which is offshore New South Wales, offshore Sydney, is going to astound all of you. David Breeze, welcome to Small Caps. Great to see you.
Thank you, Kerry, and thanks for that introduction. BPH Energy is a 22% holder in Advent Energy, which is an unlisted public company.
Right.
And BPH Energy, through its holding, has the potential to significantly change that energy shortage requirement that you talked about. The real issue is that there is a shortfall in gas forecast for the east coast of Australia as early as next year.
Oh, wow.
Through to 2025. And that is because of a number of factors, but in amongst those is the fact that the Bass Strait fields, which were discovered in the 1960s, are now predicted to have a 43% reduction in productivity between now and 2025. In addition to that, there is a requirement and an objective by the nation as a whole to have a carbon reduction or to net zero emissions. And one significant way of achieving that, and it's recognised both the federal and state level and by the international bodies that are involved in this, is to be able to take the carbon out of the industrial sources and other sources and bury that deep underground, exactly as is being done successfully in places around the world at the moment.
Okay, so we have a looming energy crisis. What is BPH Energy? If we can start, because we haven't spoken to you before on Small Caps, so what is the project that you have, that BPH Energy has, that could help with this looming energy crisis? What are you doing?
So PEP 11 is a 4,500 square kilometre area, and it's very largely centred offshore in Newcastle. The primary drilling area that we're looking at is about 30 kilometres south-southeast and out to sea from Newcastle and 26 kilometres off the coast. The PEP 11 project is really the offshore Sydney Basin, and it is in fact part of a super basin, if you like, laid down 300 plus million years ago, that's part of the super basin that runs all the way from Queensland down through New South Wales and offshore Sydney, and in truth it actually runs out to the Lord Howe Rise in geological age. And the area that we're focused on is called Baleen, and the net result of the geological processes that have occurred over time is that we have a prospective 5.5 TCF recoverable gas project here. And if you put that in context, the offshore Bass Strait fields have produced 8 TCF of gas over that 60-year period, and provided energy security to Australia over that entire time frame.
Sorry to interrupt you, David. Is that where most of our energy supplies come from this, the Bass Strait fields?
For the better part of 40 years, yes.
Wow.
Until the Cooper Basin fields were discovered and developed, and then until the onshore petroleum fields up in the Bowen Basin and Surat Basin were discovered and then developed over that time frame.
So do you think PEP 11 and specifically Baleen, PEP 11 is 4,500 square kilometres, I think you just said?
Correct.
What work have you done and what are the challenges that you're finding at the moment in developing this? Are you saying, David, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but I'm just trying to get a visual here. You said that the Bass Strait fields they're not as effective. They're going to be 43% down. They're not going to be able to deliver the gas needs for the future of this energy shortage in Australia. What you're suggesting, if I read it rightly, is that PEP 11 could potentially replace Bass Strait as a supplier of gas into Australia to meet those energy shortfalls.
The offshore Sydney Basin, in the success case, could have a significant impact on that forecast supply and may, in fact, supplement the gas shortfall that's forecast by the ACCC, the government, and each of the other parties here that are involved in this assessment process, such that we could, in fact, supply baseload gas supply for the new gas-fired power stations that are essential, in fact, for Australia in terms of supplementing solar and wind when the wind doesn't blow and when the sun doesn't shine. You can recognise that occurring, and it occurred in South Australia.
Yep.
And it's occurring in New Zealand, and it even occurred in Ireland, if you like. When you rely too much and you don't have baseload capacity, you can really hit problems. And in fact, the baseload, the gas supply is critically important to over 300,000 jobs in New South Wales. New South Wales, in fact, imports. When I say imports, brings into the state about 98% of the gas that is used within the state.
Where does it bring it in from?
It brings it in from the Cooper Basin and from Victoria, from those same Bass Strait offshore petroleum fields, and up in a pipeline that comes up all the way from down in Victoria and up into Sydney, and in fact through into Newcastle. And that's the element of issue. So you have not just, you actually have 253,000 people in 26,000 businesses that add $33 billion in industry value, and you supply 1.3 million households in New South Wales from that gas that is sourced externally. And when you think, in fact, that 43% of the Bass Strait fields may no longer be produced in the same way in a five-year period, finding and delivering alternative sources of gas into that is critically important. There's another major factor, and I touched on that already, and that is one third of Australia's carbon dioxide emissions comes from an arc that runs from Newcastle around Sydney and down into Wollongong. One third of all of Australia's CO2 emissions.
Wow.
And there is no current proven a place in the earth where those carbon dioxide emissions can be safely stored from the research that's been done to date. But in reality, The offshore Sydney Basin has been recognised by Geoscience Australia and by the New South Wales government and by the CO2 CRC in peer-reviewed independent studies as being a potential place where you can complete the carbon storage component of the carbon capture and storage. And of course, when you think about this, these structural targets that we're drilling offshore Newcastle, then in fact, if you could remove 10% of the CO2, then you would have a significant impact on the reduction of carbon dioxide emissions and the objectives of meeting net zero emissions by Australia.
So, David, how do you know that this field that you're looking at, which is 26 kilometres offshore, ladies and gentlemen, so it's not like it's, when you say the Sydney Basin, I've got a vision that, you know, it's, you can see it from Bondi Beach, but it's 26 kilometres offshore, you can't even see it. Are there some environmental challenges, and what do you say to those people that say you can't do it, number one? And number two, how certain are you that this is a similar to Bass Strait?
So when Lawrence Weeks of Weeks Petroleum came to Australia 60-odd years ago for the then federal government, he said to the Australian government, there are two places in Australia where you're likely to find hydrocarbons, that's offshore New South Wales and offshore Victoria. He went to Victoria first, and there was a successful discovery of hydrocarbons there, and it changed the economic development of Victoria, and it changed Australia's economic development for the next 60 years.
David, you're talking about Bass Strait there. You're saying that that's when Bass Strait was discovered. That created jobs. That gave Australia lots of energy security at that time, but it can't go on forever, and it is starting to run out.
And indeed, that's so. And so, in fact, when you look at the alternate sources of supply out of the Cooper Basin and Victoria and Queensland, a significant portion of the gas in Queensland goes to the export LNG facilities. The areas in the Cooper Basin are now diminishing also in their capacity to supply into that marketplace. And in fact, ethane, again, which is a major contributor to the ability to produce plastics for Australia, is also running out. And there's no certainty of supply out of the Cooper Basin for ethane either after 2025. When you look at the offshore Sydney Basin, Santos and Amplex actually had this area around 35 years ago. And when Santos and Amplex had this area, they did multiple sets of initial exploration through seismic, and they determined that you might have just in one area alone as much as 1.5 TCF. If you just think about that in terms of productive capacity, the Bass Strait fields again produced around 6 to 8 TCF over a 60 year period.
So why didn't Santos keep this project?
Because gas at that time was valueless.
Oh, gas, really? Okay.
And in fact, you could produce all the energy you needed for New South Wales out of the coal-fired power stations. CO2 emissions were not the significant issue that they are today. And now not just Australia, but the world is focused on reducing those CO2 emissions. And so, in fact, you have a coming together of a whole series of factors that really takes you into this project is a project whose time has come, and it can meet national objectives of gas supply, energy security, carbon reduction, carbon storage, and in fact, employment and a recovery, just as the Morrison government's objectives have been for a gas-fired recovery. It can have a potential significant contribution into that recovery as well.
And I guess for the consumers like myself and others that might be watching, potentially lower energy bills.
Indeed. And if you look at what's occurred as a result of a series of factors, including the sorts of factors that I've just outlined, gas prices in the eastern seaboard in the last 2 months have gone as high as $58 a gigajoule, up from a low of around $6 a gigajoule.
Wow.
In other words, several factors are coming together on a global basis. As the world moves to the use of solar and wind as primary sources of energy, what's occurring is a real need for baseload power generation, just as has been established and facilitated by the two gas-fired power stations that are being built around in Newcastle and down in Wollongong at the moment. And you're seeing this on a global basis, and you need that gas or hydro, pumped hydro, or batteries in order to supplement the solar and wind sources when they can't provide the
energy. So, David, why hasn't this, going back to my other question, how certain are you that this could replace Bass Strait as the future for Australia's energy, given Bass Strait is slowly winding down?
The government reports and the independent reports have said, as a result of the work that's occurred over the last 30 years, that prospectively you have anywhere between 1.5 up to 5.5 TCF of gas. And that's, in addition to that, what has occurred is that there's been substantial work done by the Geoscience Australia and the federal government in actually looking at gas origination in the offshore area. And in 2006, the federal government did work offshore Sydney, and what they discovered, in fact, that you were having massive gas seeps in the offshore area, so large that, in fact, that you were creating pockmarks and other indications of gas escape features. And so Geoscience Australia has actually published and said we have methane as a source of these gas escapes. Now, we've done a lot of geotechnical work that correlates those gas escapes with what we're seeing in deeply buried structures, so that, and when we're talking about deeply buried structures here, we're talking about the gas traps. If you think about a gas trap as being an upturn saucer, but buried 2,500 metres subsea floor.
Wow, very deep.
If
this is all that you say it is, why has this not become a project of national significance for Australia?
It should be, in my view.
All right. So why, you know, you've got some Geoscience Australia around it. Why are people not understanding what it is that you've got, or what are the challenges, David?
Yes. So there are people that are opposed to this, and they believe that this is an oil project, and it's not an oil project, it's a gas project. The simple fact is that this offshore area, in the geological stance or the geological parlance, has moved from an oil phase into a gas phase. In other words, the oil has been buried at such a depth and at such a pressure that it's quite literally cooked off. I'm using layman's terms here.
Please do, because I am a layman. I'm not a big oil and I don't understand. So give me layman terms.
So it's cooked off and it's changed from an oil phase into a gas phase. And you see that in the research report that was done by Grabowski from Oil Search back 30 years ago.
Yep.
But that validation of the gas phase comes through in other Geoscience Australia and New South Wales government reports as well. Now, we also in 2010 went and sampled the seafloor where we were seeing these gas escape features. And what we showed then that we were quite literally showing a gas phase at the light end of the hydrocarbon spectrum. In other words, C1, C2, C3, which is exactly the sort of gas that is required for gas-fired power stations and for gas for homes and for industrial use.
So why do they think it's oil and not gas then? Why have they got confused here? And we're running out of time, so I need a quick one to this one.
Because of a deliberate or a misunderstanding or a misrepresentation of what in fact the reality is.
So the reality is it's gas. And as Clarissa Bai said recently in the Daily Telegraph, as energy prices rise, the heat is on for New South Wales to find its own sources of gas. And going on, opening up new sources of gas will be critical, and this is important, to preventing price hikes over the next 2 years. And none of us want price hikes. Everybody's complaining about the price of energy bills these days. That's why this is important, ladies and gentlemen. That's why BPH are doing what they're doing. But David, I have to ask you, this is an investor audience. Why, you know, it's a big thing. It potentially could be replacing Bass Strait. Why do you think now is a good time for investors to take a punt and go, you know what, BPH Energy, they're going to get this underway? Give me the three reasons why you think now is a great time for people to put their money into BPH.
So the three reasons is that the gas resource could be substantial. The indications are that it is. We can have a significant contribution to the carbon reduction. And certainly there is value in that, and we're seeing that overseas in the amount of money that is now being put into carbon reduction strategies. And the third reason is that those two elements alone could give a substantial uplift in value to BPH in the success case.
David Brees, a man that knows this industry extremely well and that reckons he may be onto another Bass Strait. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you on Small Caps today. As I said right at the start, BPH Energy, ASX code is BPH. David Brees, Managing Director, thanks for chatting to us on Small Caps. And we must get you back to talk bigger picture on the energy crisis that is facing us. Thanks for joining us on Small Caps today.
Kerry, thanks very much for the opportunity. I appreciated that.